When I was in primary school, my teacher said to me, if you had $1 and your father gave you $1, how many dollars would you have? I said, $1. She said, no, Colin, you don't know your arithmetic. And I said, you don't know my father. Dads can have a big impact on our lives. In fact, dads should have a big impact on our lives. Hopefully, but not always, unfortunately, is it a positive one. And it seems to be less and less of that positive influences happening these days. But still, there are plenty of good dads around, and it's a good reason to celebrate. Being a dad is an honour, is a privilege, just like being a grandparent. When one of my grandsons was quite young, he called me Colin, which of course is my name. And his mother grew up in a home where she addressed her parents by their first name instead of mum and dad. They came from a hippie generation where hippie rules continued. But I thought it was extremely sad. Anyway, I said to my grandson, please don't call me Colin. And he said, but that's your name. And I said, yes, but any and everybody can call me Colin. But only you and your brothers get to call me Popsy. And I've waited till you were born and learned to walk for someone to call me Popsy, Granddad, or whatever. Please don't take that away from me. As I said a moment ago, being a grandparent or a mum and dad is a great privilege. I'm glad that we still have a Mother's Day and a Father's Day to celebrate and honour our earthly mums and dads. I fear, though, that the day is coming when they'll be replaced by something like Parents' Day, which is okay, but it's not quite the same. Here's a question for you. Is there glory in being a stinking father? Let me start with something very profound for the dads among us. Before you were a father, you were a son. And as a son, think about what feelings you had when you blew it big time. Were you afraid of how your father was going to react? Or were you confident? Yes, he'd be strict, he'd be firm, but loving and caring. And therein lies a good rule of thumb for dads to think of. Unfortunately, for those of us who are older with adult kids, it's almost too late. Mind you, our adult children can still make mistakes and could use our advice at times, but largely it's too late. And generally speaking, they don't want it. For us older ones, our child-rearing days are behind us. But if you're younger, don't waste them. The same could be said for our ladies. I don't want to leave anybody out, and I know that there are some who haven't been mums or dads, but if you keep listening, you'll find that this message is for you too. And back to the mums. Just like the dads, before you were mothers, and I know some aren't, but you were all daughters. And the principles we speak of today apply to us all. Another thing that applies to us all is that at one time or another, we have blown it, probably on numerous occasions if you're like me. We haven't been a perfect child, nor perfect as an adult, parent or otherwise. So here's the good news. Our Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus the Son is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. And they love us regardless of our imperfections, so much so that Jesus died so that we could be declared perfect, righteous in God's sight. Unfortunately, like us, our Father on earth wasn't perfect like our Father in heaven. At this point, I recognize that for some, Father's Day can bring back a flood of painful memories. Some had a father who made their life miserable. For some of those, living in that memory still negatively impacts your life. I understand that. We may never forget, but if we are to find healing, we must look to our Heavenly Father and, like Him, be willing to forgive. Earlier, when I asked, was there glory in being a stinking father, that's not what I was talking about. I wasn't talking about being a violent or deadbeat father. In the remaining time, let's consider what I did mean by that. The Apostle Paul makes an interesting comparison between being a father, a good father, and a good church pastor. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 4 to 5, he gives some instructions to Timothy about his role as a pastor and a minister. Paul writes of the qualities which must be found in a church pastor, and he relates those qualities to those which should be found in a father. He writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, "He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" The message is clear. If you want to be a good pastor, you better have your own household in order. Now, not everybody wants to be a pastor, nor are they called to be a church pastor. And this isn't Pastor's Day, it's Father's Day. But let's continue with the comparison. That passage we just read obviously is not just talking about how a church pastor should be, but how a good dad should be. Someone who manages his own household well and with dignity, nurtures and cares for his children, teaches them that, yes, children should be doing what they're told. Children do need guidelines. And a good father will enforce those guidelines, not to control his kids, but to ensure their future. He teaches them things like integrity, honesty, loyalty, etc. He models a good work ethic. And he constantly cares and loves for them, even when they do something wrong. There are other scriptures, many of them actually, which reveal that pastors are to be like shepherds. Two prevalent themes throughout the Bible are that of sheep and of shepherds. God reveals himself as a shepherd of his people. His prophets and kings are also called to be shepherds to God's people. So let's throw in pastors and dads, because there is a definite connection there. And when we look at Jesus, he is the fulfillment of the shepherding imagery in the Bible. He says in John chapter 10 and verse 11 that "I am the good shepherd, and I lay my life down for the sheep." In other words, he's talking about self-sacrificial, faithful commitment and love. The passage is comparing a good shepherd to a hired hand whose only interest in the sheep is a pay packet, whereas to the good shepherd, it's not just a job. He's in it for love. He owns the sheep and is committed to them. He is willing to fight to the death to save his sheep. And in Jesus' case, he did die for them. Now, without belaboring it, the church is called the household of God. It's to be led by a pastor or a shepherd. And likewise, in an actual household, a father should be a pastor or a shepherd to his family. And there's plenty of scriptures to validate that. And now we come to where the stinking bit comes in. What I'm saying is this world needs more fathers who are like shepherds. But what is a shepherd like? As we'll see, among other things, shepherds stink. And it's why they stink that we want to look at, and thus learn why the world needs fathers who stink. I don't mean bad fathers. I don't mean fathers with bad BO. But who stink in a different way. As a church pastor, I should stink. As a father, I should stink. You see, being a shepherd isn't a warm, fuzzy, feel-good experience. Not always. It's not one where you're always well-groomed, freshly showered, got clean clothes, and you live in a perfect world. In ancient Near Eastern culture, shepherds were rugged. They would spend days on end out in the bush or the scrub or the pastures or whatever they were called back then with their sheep. There were no home comforts, no showers, no baths. A shepherd led, fed, and fought for his flock. Shepherds spent time with the flock. They defended the flock. Their scars were stained with blood and their skin was rugged like leather. And here's where the stinky bit comes in. They smelt like the flock. That is, they were part of the flock. And that, not the smell, is what I'm talking about. It's hard work. It's dirty work. It's a messy job. And if you were a good shepherd, it's a smelly job because you were right in there with the sheep. I don't want to appear too judgmental, but over the years I've met some pastors who don't like to get their hands dirty. They don't see themselves as part of the congregation. They seek prestige, control, power, or whatever. For them, it's not about service. It's about ego. And sadly, what goes around comes around. They generally are not very successful, or On the other hand, they're extremely successful because they're great manipulators, G'ing up the crowds and generating a sense of excitement that doesn't bode well for living with reality. And so, a lot of people eventually feel and are let down. That's something that Jesus also warns us about, but not my purpose to discuss further today. We just need to be aware of it. There are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. Good pastors and not so good pastors. Good fathers and bad fathers. These are the ones who are willing to sacrifice their family for their careers or who avoid taking responsibility for their families. They've got other interests to pursue. Perhaps it's time with their mates at the pub or laying about on the dole watching TV or any number of other inappropriate activities that bad fathers engage in. I'm not suggesting it's wrong to have a beer with a mate in the pub or to watch TV, but I think you get the point. It's about priorities and what's in your heart. Yes, we need more fathers who stink because they are in the trenches with the flock that God gave them. We need fathers and mothers who lead. Psalm 23 tells us that when we have a true shepherd to lead us, we shall not want. It may be a big ask, but a father is called on to model God. He is to lead with authority. That's a word that's not popular anymore, but it's authority founded in love, not neglect. And he is to be held accountable for what he does with that authority, to love and care for the flock he leads. Again, in Psalm 23, we see that like our Lord, who is the good shepherd, shepherds, or pastors, and mums and dads, will guide their flocks or their families in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake, for the sake of the one who gave his life and declared us righteous. Realistically, this means that sometimes you may not be seen as a nice guy. You have to provide mature guidance, be consistent, and lay down the law, which again isn't a popular concept these days. But it's something I talked about earlier, providing wise guidelines for our kids and ensuring that our kids learn and experience the benefits of those guidelines. Thus, as they grow and mature towards becoming independent of their families, they're well equipped to be good and responsible citizens and fathers, or mothers in the case of our daughters, or just responsible adults. A child without those guidelines in their life may get lucky and learn some of those things from the school of hard knocks, but how much better is it if they learn those lessons without the pain of making some pretty harsh mistakes, all because nobody taught them there was a better way? Like pastors, like shepherds, dads have to be committed to doing what's best, not what's easiest. When the Bible speaks of men being the head of the home, it doesn't mean being an arrogant, egotistical tyrant. I'm in charge here and you'll do what I say. So what does loving authority mean? Well, let's hear what Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 says it means. Paul instructs fathers, or husbands in this case, to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The focus is self-sacrificial responsibility, not personal privilege. And in Acts chapter 20, it tells us that it involves making sure that your relationship with God is right. Otherwise, any authority you may wield means nothing. It's destructive, not constructive. It's about gospel leadership, being Christ-like, and sharing his message. As with pastors or shepherds, it means that we're going to gladly bear the marks of suffering and to be faithful shepherds or parents. There are going to be tears, and it will be challenging, and you'll lose sleep at night. But it also means that the gospel is precious. It's vital not only to communicate the gospel to our flock, but to exemplify it, to be a living testimony to the power of the gospel and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It ought to be obvious to our family that they and the gospel are the most important things in your life. Nothing matters more. So we stink because we are in the thick of it, dealing with the burdens, the difficulties, and the challenges of life for the sake of those in our care. Being a good father is not easy. That's why so many fail. because God is not part of their fatherhood role. Hence, when we look around, we see the world in a mess. We can't blame fathers for all of it, but we sure can for a lot of it. Bad fathers. Bad mothers. People who have forgotten God. That's where the mess comes from. So don't blame God. We've got to look at ourselves. Words that every good shepherd, every good father should want to hear are found in Psalm 77 and verse 20, that you led or you shepherded your people like a flock. Every one of us have people in our care or people we have influence over. We are all called to lead our people like a flock as Christ leads us. It's a daily thing. We must not be found negligent because Satan is on the prowl. Spiritual warfare is waged all around us. That's why so many parents today have been lulled into a false sense of security and have abdicated their parental responsibilities and obligations. I just about cry every time I hear statements like, "Well, our kids don't need us telling them what to do. They'll figure it out for themselves." No, they won't. That's not how parenting works. That's not what a good father or mother does. As I explained earlier, young children need guidelines. To fail to provide them, in my opinion, is a form of abuse. That's another thing that's not popular to say these days. But I believe it's reality. I believe it's truth. And there's plenty of evidence to substantiate that opinion. If we want to be a good shepherd in our own household, we need the shepherd of our soul to be leading us. And that shepherd is both a father and a son. This isn't just a rule of parenting, it's a rule of life. We need to bow before the Lord Jesus, declare our dependence on him, and trust him. Our Lord is the shepherd of our soul, and he is the only hope of salvation for this world today. Yes, before we were ever parents, for those of us who are, we were sons and daughters, and we still are. Here's the encouraging thing in all of this. No matter what our personal family circumstances are or were, we are never without a father. When we blow it big time, we have a dad in heaven who is there for us. O son, O daughter, you are my child, and you have been forgiven. When Jesus rose from the waters of baptism, a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy." Don't ever forget that your God, your heavenly Father, your dad, loves you just like that. So let's go about giving our dad in heaven good cause to be joyful. Let's not be influenced by the world. Let's be completely submissive to the leading of the Holy Spirit through life's endeavors and challenges. And let the stink of our choices be obvious to all around us. Amen.